In the early months of the COVID pandemic, there was a dramatic increase in the number of Vermonters using telemedicine services. The pandemic has continued now for more than a year and a half, and we thought it would be a good time to check in on the continuing use of these services and to look at the issues that have emerged as benefits for patients and doctors and what problems have been discovered as well. So with us to look at this subject is VPR's senior political correspondent, Bob Kinzel. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Mitch.
To start us off, help us put this growth of telemedicine services into perspective. How much have they grown since the start of the pandemic in the winter of 2020?
Mitch, the growth has been really amazing. In February of 2020, just before the pandemic really hit, there were 427 claims for telemedicine at Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Vermont for that month. 427. In February of this year, there were 29,000. I talked to Dr. Joshua Plavin, who is the chief medical officer at Blue Cross, about this increase, and he said he was initially surprised to learn that about two-thirds of the claims were for mental health services.
You can provide the bulk of care effectively in mental health on a telehealth visit, audiovisual, rather than in medical, where there's sometimes a need for an exam, procedures, whatnot.
So, Mitch, over the last 16 months, the use of telemedicine services has remained quite high, not quite as high as its peak in 2020, but it's clear that it's remained a critical part of the state's overall healthcare system.
Well, how have doctors responded to the growing use of these telemedicine services?
Mitch, it really depends on the doctor and the services that they provide. I think it's really important to note that telemedicine is not for everybody. It's not for every doctor. It's not for every patient. It really depends on the circumstances. I had a chance to talk with Dr. Anna Hankins, who was a pediatrician in central Vermont. Now, when the pandemic started, she said she was a skeptic about telemedicine. Now, she's an advocate.
I have gone from seeing it as an emergency measure to use in the middle of a crisis to being just a normal part of my medical practice.
Dr. Hankins says, Mitch, that there are definitely circumstances when she needs to see a patient in person. But she's learning that there are cases that can be dealt with effectively using telemedicine services.
What about the major benefits of these services, though? Why has she become such an advocate for them?
You know, she told me that these virtual visits with children allow her to see a side of the child's life that usually is not revealed in an office visit.
But when I see her in her bedroom, I can see that she has painted every wall in the bedroom. And I can say, wow, who painted that? Oh, I did. Well, show it to me. And I've gotten tours of bedrooms to see the artwork, to see the design. Teenagers are really proud of their bedrooms, and they want me to see that. And it gives me a chance to find out things about them that I just don't find out about if they're in the office.
And Mitch, Dr. Hankins told me that sometimes her appointments are 10 to 15-minute checkup visits with a patient, and that telemedicine is a very practical way to do this.
Well, that's one side of the coin, but the other really important part of this relationship, of course, is the patient. And you had a chance to talk with some of Dr. Hankins' patients, I understand, about this use of telemedicine. What did you learn from them?
Mitch, it was fascinating. I learned a lot by talking to them, and many thanks to George and Edith for sharing their experiences with me. George told me that in some cases, it can actually be easier to discuss a difficult issue in a virtual appointment than it is in person.
Being in person and being in the same space and talking about stuff that is really close to home oftentimes causes stress for both people. And I'm not saying necessarily that her office isn't a comfortable space. It's just different than being in your own home.
Mitch, there's also a convenience factor with these virtual visits. For instance, Edith told me that it's been possible for her to schedule a virtual check-in appointment with Dr. Hankins between school and a sports practice.
I've been able to do it like on my computer and have that quick appointment. So that's been a benefit.
And Mitch, in talking with Edith, it became very clear to me that this COVID pandemic has been a very difficult and stressful time for a lot of people. Certainly, we've heard that it's been tough for older Vermonters who have had to deal with isolation. It's been really tough for parents trying to balance working at home and making sure their kids keep up with remote learning. And as Edith reminded me, it's been a stressful period for many teenagers as well.
I've basically missed the first year and a half or so of like being a normal teenager due to COVID. And it's just stressful all around because like I want to hang out with people, but at the same time, I don't want to have to worry about like, have they been following mask mandates? Have they been doing what they're supposed to? Am I safe to like be around them without having to worry about maintaining social distance?
So, Mitch, while the pandemic has made life more difficult for many people, telemedicine seems to have evolved as a pretty effective way to deal with some of these issues.
And, Bob, obviously we're not using their last names for privacy reasons, but thanks again to George and Edith for speaking with you about these issues. We have discussed so far some of the benefits of telemedicine, Bob, but is there a downside or some other issues that need to be addressed?
Definitely, Mitch. First, I think we really need to remember that telemedicine is not for everyone. There are going to be circumstances where it's very important for a patient to see a doctor in person. And in some cases, there's absolutely no substitute for that office visit. Second, telemedicine also assumes that the patient has access to high-speed broadband services. And we know that's not the case in many parts of the state. Dr. Henkin says a poor connection can result in a really frustrating experience for everybody involved.
It keeps pausing. It keeps slowing down. I'm talking, and it turns out that on their end, I'm frozen. And then by the time they tell me that, I've just spent 3 minutes giving the best explanation of asthma management I've ever given, and now I have to repeat it again. So that doesn't work.
And Mitch, I think one of the lessons of the pandemic has been the critical importance of having universal access to high-speed broadband throughout the entire state of Vermont.
Bob, what do you think about the long-term use of these services? Is telemedicine here to stay?
I think it's definitely here to stay, Mitch. I think the outlook is very good. Dr. Plavin from Blue Cross also teaches at the Dartmouth Medical School, and he told me that the use of telemedicine services has now become part of the curriculum at Dartmouth.
We're just introducing it formally into training. So for that to percolate up through the entire system will take time.
Mitch, I'm not sure that there are a lot of positive things that have come out of this pandemic, but the use of telemedicine in appropriate circumstances might be one of them.
Yeah, it's been a fascinating look at one aspect of our lives that really has changed so dramatically with the onset of this COVID pandemic. Bob, thank you so much for speaking with us about this.
My pleasure, Mitch.